Hello, I'm Hal Lublin.
And I'm Mark Gagliardi.
Since the dawn of humanity, one issue has gone unsettled. With the fate of the world in the balance, we're here to settle once and for all.
Clean Slate Live!
That's right. Don't worry, everyone. We got this.
Podcasts should have a theme song.
Podcasts should not have a theme song.
Yes, they should.
No, they shouldn't.
They sound good.
Yeah, but people are just going to skip past it.
You know what?
You're right. We got this.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome.
This is very exciting. We're doing another live YouTube We Got This with Mark and Hal. And we are going to take live questions to be asked and answered.
That's right. Ken's been compiling these from Facebook and from Twitter. And some of these are from last time. They're holdovers. And some of them we may be getting right now. We got some today as it was promoted. Ken, I've muted you. So if you need to speak, just press the space bar.
Or just hold things up on a sign like Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah. I'd rather see stuff on a sign. Yeah.
And just make that.
Yeah, hold on. Let me go get my dry erase board.
I just hung a dry erase board. I was like, I'm going to be productive. I'm going to get this great big dry erase board.
Is it over by the refrigerator? Where did you hang it up?
It's on the refrigerator, actually. Yeah. Not my refrigerator here. It's amazing how similar our apartments look, Hal.
Yeah. Well, we're next door neighbors.
That's true.
We open our doors, it's like help. We just have one big apartment.
And God forbid we have to leave the apartment at the same time because our doors just smack into each other and we can't leave.
That's really why we're at home. We've been trying to leave for 31 days.
Living that Laverne and Shirley lifestyle.
Yeah, why is everyone else home?
Hey, I'm just trying to go to that concert.
Do you want to start with a topic?
Let's do it.
Let me turn off all these things
that ding.
Oh, yeah. Turn off your ringers and dingers. Yeah,
I mean,
turn off my ringers and dingers.
We've only been live for 15 minutes, but sure.
It's fine. it's lockdown. Everybody's you know, loopy.
We've all given up.
Yeah, we've all given up. All right. Do not disturb on. All right.
So speaking of lockdown, this is a topic from Ethan Jones on the Facebook group.
What's up, Ethan Jones?
Hello, Ethan.
And it is, should you wear pants when working from home?
I mean, you don't have to, but I like to think that everybody is wearing pants because if I know, it's almost like the virus itself. If some people are asymptomatic, as in I can't see them from the chest down, I don't know if they're wearing pants or not. I don't want to have to assume the worst. So I don't want to look at everybody and go, they're having a meeting with me right now and they're not wearing pants.
Okay.
First thoughts, Hal?
Let's play a game.
Okay.
I'm going to raise my leg on camera. But I want you to guess first whether or not I'm wearing pants. Because they'll see a bare knee if I'm not wearing pants.
Or you've got shorts on. You're also a basketball shorts guy.
No. I'm wearing either pants or underwear only. What do you think it is?
Hal?
Yeah?
I love you.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to trust that you take our show seriously.
Okay. All right.
Lift your
Are you
leg
ready?
I'm ready.
I'm slowly lift my leg on camera. This is what everybody's here for. Slowly happening. Here it comes. Pants!
Hey, all right. Oh, I almost lost my green screen behind me. I was so excited about that.
Yeah. I wear pants. I wear sweatpants. Does that count? Or they say, like, put on your slacks, put on your I haven't worn jeans since the last time I went food shopping.
Hey, Hal, if I lifted my leg up right now, you'd see a pair of jeans. I'm most comfortable in jeans. It's weird. But that's that's how I feel the most comfortable. And also, there have been days where I'm like, I got to get stuff done. So I will get up in the morning. I will make my coffee. I will get dressed, put on a tie, and walk around the block and come in. And I highly recommend that. It makes it feel like life is happening normal. Not that I put on a tie for regular everyday life.
Yeah. Anymore,
but it's a little performance of getting stuff done. So
I like the idea that somebody sees you and is like, hey, one of those guys from the Adjustment Bureau is walking around our neighborhood. I wonder if he's going to open a door and wind up in like a Mars or something. I think you should wear pants. There have been a couple times this week where I was like, listen, all my meetings are from from here, from like collarbone up. Mm-hmm. Nobody can see. I could like, it's fine. I could get away with it, I guess. But there are two things. One, if I had to get up to grab something, mm-hmm. that could be a nightmare. And number two, even though they're sweatpants, there is something to every day I'm going to shower and get dressed. Whatever that yeah. is. I'm going to get dressed for work, put on new clothes. Even it's not a question of what you can get away with. I think it's just better to do it even mentally. Like when I'm finished with this, I'm going to take my whole work setup and pack it up and put it away. So
you separate your day into segments. You're able to
I try to. Yeah.
Mine is just one big blur.
One big blur. You just put on a suit.
I put on a suit. I wake up in a suit. Yeah. I don't put it on in the morning. I go to bed in the suit. So that I'm ready to start my day.
Right.
I think I have a solution to your, I don't want to wear pants, but what if I leave something in the other room?
What's that?
Just pretend, and I would love to see a demonstration of this. Just pretend that you left it, in that basement whose stairs are right behind you.
So you want me to put a fake background on?
No, I just want to see you do the Bill Irwin walk down the stairs.
Sure. And
then you duck away. Like
this, I'll say, oh, it's here. Yeah. Exactly. Hold on. There's a wall. Hold on. I'm almost there. Wait, these stairs are slippery. Got it.
That was somehow both worse and better than I hoped it would be.
Yeah, I'm Bill Irwin. Anyway, it's pants. You should wear pants.
Yeah, you should wear pants. Let's not give up yet, people. I feel like just not wearing pants is like, well, we're all done. I'm here till the zombies get me. No, wear your pants.
Yeah, asked and answered.
Okay, we do have a comment on the YouTube stream.
Live
comments going. We got that working.
Good. Yeah.
Please excuse if I'm mispronouncing your first name. Kama Lord wanted to mention that a daughter is just asked me to play the normal podcast theme song because she misses the intro.
Oh.
So maybe we'll work that out if we do this in the future, where we could play back the theme as we launch this. So people.
Well, what we could just do right now for her daughter that wanted to hear the song is we can just sing it, right?
Yeah. All right.
Podcast should have a theme song.
Podcast should not have a theme song.
Yes, they should.
No, they shouldn't.
Yeah, but people, yes, they sound,
forgot
they
the sound words. Good. Yeah, but people are just going to skip past it.
You know what? You're right. We got this. I can't believe I wanted to do that part so badly this
game. Oh, you wanted to be the other part?
I wanted to be
next
the other
time
part.
You
I guess.
Be the other part.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think we'll go with playback next time.
Great. That's probably a better idea.
Oh, that was perfect.
We nailed that.
Yeah.
Want to see a weird green screen water?
Oh my gosh.
It's very strange, right?
Does my kitchen do that? Nope. Sure doesn't.
Well, we got another question. Okay. So this one's from Twitter.
Okay.
Mark Holden.
Hi, Mark.
Best Dolly. Madison or Parton?
Best Dolly, Madison or Parton?
Are you Googling the answer?
No, I'm getting a new background.
Oh, to answer this?
Yeah.
I think we both know what the answer is. But
I think we do.
That,
yeah.
Because I really only know about one of these Dollies. I know about one way more than I know about the other.
Dolly Madison was the best thing about the Madison household.
Right.
James Madison was a real stick in the mud, and everybody always wondered why Dolly was like, what's she, this like radiant light doing with him? That mm-hmm. she was just sort of the life of every party. She was this incredible, you know, just raconteur. And she also was the one that in the War of 1812 saved the portrait of George Washington.
Right. She was also addicted to snuff, wasn't she?
and snack cakes,
don't forget.
Yeah. That said, as a child of Tennessee,
you finally got it. There it is.
As a child of Tennessee, everybody knows on this show how much I love Dolly Parton. She is a wizard. She is a super genius. If you've not heard Dolly Parton's America, the podcast from Jad Abumrad, it's amazing. She gives so much money away. She has her book club where it's every month until you're five, you get a book.
Yep.
Anyone in the world that wants to do it. So you have a library of books by the time you're able to read. She's from my hometown. She's how?
Yeah, I mean, it's Dolly. She's an incredible... Here's the thing, like... And it's sort of the premise for Dolly Parton's America is that she is... I don't know if you want to call it four quadrant or it fills an entire Venn diagram, but the spread of people who like her and are fans of her could not be more different from one another ideologically, culturally, almost any way you can think of, age-wise, and yet everybody loves her. And she's like this ray of light who's come to Earth and done all these wonderful things in her time and also created some of the most memorable music. You know, yeah. I mean, the most famous version of any of her songs isn't even hers. That's like the craziest thing.
I don't know who else did Backwoods Barbie besides her, but
I did.
You did? Oh, did? And your cover did better than her original.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. In some places in this household, it was huge.
Dude, it was huge in this household as well. And by this household, I mean here in beautiful Dollywood.
Yeah. And was it Syverston?
Sevierville.
Sevierville. Yeah.
That's Sevierville, right. Tennessee, named after John Sevier, not because of the climate. Yeah. Dolly Parton, asked and answered.
Yes.
What's next?
Now go back to my kitchen.
I do like how the YouTube comments.
Go back to your kitchen.
Called it. Mark, that you were going to, of course, go Tennessee.
Of course.
Yeah.
Now I'm back in Hell's Kitchen. Hey, Hell's Kitchen, that's my favorite New York neighborhood.
That's where Daredevil lives.
Yeah.
Hell's Kitchen.
From Facebook, hey, Ethan Facebook. Jones.
Ethan, what's up?
Ethan.
A second.
Asks, sock, shoe, or sock, sock, shoe, shoe?
Man, I guess, here's the thing. Whichever one you do... I bet the other one feels super weird because to me, it's sock, sock, shoe, shoe. So the idea of having one foot with a shoe and a sock and the other foot completely bare, I don't know what I would do with myself.
I have heard that with a baby, it is better to do sock, shoe, because you put the sock on and then while you're trying to put the other sock on, baby takes the first sock off.
Right.
And I think somebody may have commented that on Facebook. I think that might have been where I've because I read like some responses.
So this is baby specific this. Or this is just as an adult, what do I do?
This is also how Jennifer puts Hal's socks and shoes on.
Yeah. Jennifer puts one sock on and then she starts to put the other sock on. And I'm like, look, a sock. And I take it off my foot and then I put it on my head because it's like a hat. And then I have a hat on.
And then she takes a picture because you're so adorable.
Yeah. And she posts it to a support group for other people with infantilized adults as spouses. I think you have to do that with a baby. But as an adult, put on your socks. Because first of all, are you keeping them in the
same
place?
Okay, so it's not me that sock, shoe, and one foot still bare seem odd. Okay, so that seems odd to a lot of people, I would assume.
It raises more questions than it answers. Because either you're keeping your shoes by your bed or you keep them in your closet. Like we keep our shoes in the front because we take our shoes off just to keep the carpet in some shape.
Sure.
So
they're tyrants socks are on. About it.
You will take your shoes off in my house. Listen. Yeah. So the socks go on. Long before shoes are even in the equation. Plus, let's say you get halfway through, you're like, oh, I forgot something. Are you going to like lopsided waddle back to get it? Because there's a height differential. Even whether you're wearing flats or high heels, it's a little bit different. That just seems like I don't know anybody who does sock shoe. You do, Ken?
I do.
You do sock shoe, sock shoe?
What?
I do. So, and
look at your office.
And the reason I
do
that.
You do sock, shoe, sock, shoe.
I do.
You and Ethan. Is Ethan the only other one?
Ethan didn't voice a preference one way or the other. Hmm. Yeah, he just put the question forward. Some of these
that seem like a, why is this even a question?
I don't judge our fans like that.
One person wants us to validate a thing.
Yeah, they're like, this is okay. It's sock shoe, right?
It's sock shoe, right? Hold on, let me come over there.
Just like mommy did, right? It's how mommy did it. Mommy did it. Why do you do that, Ken? So the reason I do that is that it aggravates me if a sock isn't completely fitted, like tight to the foot, I put my shoe on. Mm-hmm. So I don't want it loosening up while I'm putting the other sock on. I like to lock it in place.
Ken.
With the shoe.
Loosen that quickly.
It's a thing. And it aggravates me if it even loosens a little bit. So I want to cut that off immediately by locking it down. As soon as that sock is in place, the shoe goes on.
All right.
Boy. It is also a 1 minute process to do both of them. It's not like I'm agonizing over it. Like it's some intense thing that I have to concentrate on. It's just sock, shoe.
The more you describe it, the more I realize how right Mark and I are. Because either, you know, you can get new socks that don't flop. Yeah. Like, are you walking around your house if you have your socks on, like the Cat in the Hat with these big floppy feet? Like, instantly your socks are going crazy on you?
I don't, it's like the Indiana Jones passing the idol and putting the sandbag. It's like,
I don't walk around in my socks in my home.
What, do you walk around barefoot or you put your shoes on?
Barefoot or slippers. I'm not wearing my socks that I want to put into my shoes, so I'm not wearing them out.
Are you wearing slippers right now?
No, I'm not wearing slippers right now because I'm
wearing pants right now.
Yes, I am wearing pants.
What's right in now. The basement behind you?
Yeah, we check it.
Oh, he's going backwards.
Oh, I have a slide.
Cool. All right, but look, it's definitely sock, shoe.
Yeah. I mean, you just heard the ramblings of a lunatic as to why it must be sock, shoe. Yeah. And you need to ask yourself, Ethan, and everybody else out there, do you want to be bound to the floppiness of your socks that way? You can get new socks. When my socks get worn out and they don't hold anymore, guess what? Bye-bye socks.
I mean, do you have any sentimental socks?
I don't anymore. I have pairs that are really comfortable, but once, like, if they get holes, they're gone.
Yeah.
And if they get loose, they're gone. Not anymore.
Okay.
Do you?
I do. I have a section that is untouched. They're just in their rolls, but they are, that they were like gifts. Like, I got some Batman socks when I booked, the Batman job. So I have those. Katie gave me some Ren and Stimpy socks. And I like those. So those get stashed. And then I have the Charlie Chaplin socks that I wore to my 8th grade graduation. I still have they had Charlie Chaplin on the side of them. And for years, they were my special occasion socks for like all of high school years.
Wow.
Yeah. Had Charlie Chaplin on my socks and I still have them. And I can't believe they don't have holes in them. That said, I still put those on one at a time before I put a shoe over them.
Asked and answered.
It's weird that we're not picking up on each other's mics.
Well, we have that baffling between us.
Oh, right. That green line.
The picture I took shows more of my kitchen than my actual live camera does.
Yours looks fake, Hal.
Welcome. It does look fake.
Yeah,
I don't even.
Yours
know
looks how, like a weird angle. No, like the angle's all wrong. Like the perspective is incorrect.
I feel like at some point I should break out some glasses during this and show people the collector's glasses. But we'll get to that.
They're pretty.
Oh, good. Is it going to turn into show and tell?
Yeah.
Oh no, God no! Ken will be here all night.
Yeah, my goodness. I'm gonna have a tour.
So our next question is from Kathy Thurber.
Hi, Kathy.
And it's
Kathy.
Hoodies, pullover, or zip front?
Ooh, 100% zip front for me.
Explain to me. Okay. I get a zip front. Zip front is jacket with a zipper, no hood.
Yeah.
Hoodie is a pullover with a hood. Pullover is a hoodie without a hood.
No, this is two things. This is hoodie, colon, not hoodie, comma.
I have a fair amount of both, and I enjoy having the pullover one on. because really? I put it on because I know it's going to be cold somewhere. So I put it on. I don't have to worry about like the zippers open a little bit or any, like I don't have to keep it zipped up. It's made like that. So I'm kind of sealed in, like, but it depends. Like it's nice to wear the zippered ones too and be able to open them up. But I find like my favorite hoodies that I own are pullovers now. And they probably used to be the other way around where they're zippered.
For me, it's always the zipper because that's just, sorry, I'm picking another background now. That's the new game that we're playing. And this was the first thing I thought of when you said hoodie. For me, it's the one benefit that a pullover hoodie has is that there's no zipper break in the front pocket. So the front pocket is one big, wide, open thing, like the back pocket on a pheasant hunting jacket. I don't pheasant hunt, though. And I guess a pullover hoodie to me feels like I'm wearing a regular zipper hoodie and I've got it like stiflingly tight.
Okay.
But you say that yours is it, but it was different when you were young. Mm-hmm. It was, now we're just playing with the ridiculous ones. I love it. You said when you were younger, it was the zippered ones that you enjoyed more?
Not even younger. I'd say in the last like 10 years, but
well, you were younger 10 years
ago. Yeah, but that is, brother, you ain't lying. But I think I've come to like when it's hoodie time, I guess it does depend. There are times like practically a zippered one makes more sense.
I think that's what we're looking at. Yeah. I understand that there's some just like magical sweaters that are just the most comfortable thing in the world for you. And you just get in it and you're like, this is my thing. But if we're trying to do this objectively, what?
Right. Oh, it's me and my dad at a bar mitzvah in 1989.
Was that a dot matrix print
yes,
that you got
from the mall?
Like as a thing?
Yeah,
you made me lose my train of thought again.
I look like a psychotic. Sorry, you were saying?
You do look like a psychotic. But aside from the ones that are just like nostalgia sweatshirts, I think practically speaking, the zipper, it's easier to get on and off. Mm-hmm. There are benefits, I think, to having two front pockets instead of one big one, though I think that it's a net benefit to have the one big wide one. For space.
Although that one big pocket is generally like straight across, mm-hmm. as opposed to the two side pockets are kind of angled down a little bit more. So it does feel like it's gone.
As long as those two side seams are at least half a phone high.
Yes.
But I think generally speaking, I think the zipper hoodie is going to wind up being the superior choice.
You know, I went into this like my favorite hoodie is my pullover Sixers hoodie. It's really warm. I like that it's snug. I love like the pocketed. When any of us were traveling, I would go to Philadelphia in the winter. That would be my jacket. Like I could wear it as a jacket and it would keep me warm. But the warmest jacket I have is a zippered Trader Joe's hoodie.
There you go. Yeah, I think it's zippered.
Yeah.
Asked and answered.
Can you go back to that photo of you with your dad?
Yeah, of course. Very important. Why are people commenting about it?
Just go back to it. Because it looks like your dad is a ventriloquist holding you as his dummy.
Yeah.
and that's the act photo.
Why does it look like this? It's going to zoom in on Hal's face very slowly, and then it's going to switch to the negative.
Yeah.
Right? Like this adorable kid, it zooms in. Dun, dun. So those eyes suddenly become like green lit.
Yeah, it's like a Bauhaus video. Bela Lugosi's dead. It's just pushing in. Undead, undead, undead.
All right, Ken, what's our next topic?
We have a topic from the live chat from what's Nicole Corning.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
And it is mustache alone or mustache with soul patch?
Mustache with soul patch. Mustache with soul patch. Mustache alone? My dad, when I was a kid in the 80s, mustache and soul patch, Frank Zappa.
I'm still going Marc Maron.
You know what this was? This was not a deliberate thing. This was I'm tired of this beard, so I shaved this morning. And I got to this point, and something in my hand with the razor went, nah, man, stop here. So I did.
Yeah.
You're going to be streaming tonight.
Yeah.
People need to see this.
It looks like you have the one mustache and then a smaller mustache that's just in the on deck circle. Like, yeah. Hey, if that other it's mustache disappears.
Oh, it's, so it's like a baby stash?
Anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
Bat stash.
Do the listeners know, do the people of the world know about the terrorizing that I got from you and the creators of Cards Against Humanity on a boat one night?
Well, it's worth mentioning again for people who have not heard the story before.
I decided for one night that I was going to have a pencil-thin mustache for a, like, fezzes and old-timey dandies party. Which turned out to be the mistake of my life.
I started roasting you, just coming up with lines, I think, throughout the evening.
Yeah.
And then we wound up in the performer's lounge. It was you and me, the writing staff of Cards Against Humanity, and Paul Soborin. Mm-hmm. And it just became everybody taking turns trying to come up with lines about your mustache. And I don't know the last time I laughed that hard. Like all of us, and you as well. You loved it.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah.
You had the best time. If you weren't enjoying it, it would not be fun.
No. It was, I was very tickled by, do you remember any of them?
Yeah, but none that I could say.
Oh yeah. There were only the dirtiest ones.
There was a lot of you look like an evil landlord.
Yeah. There was a lot of hey, did you get that family from that Sam Shepard play to sign that document yet? That was one.
Yeah, you look like a guy who ran on the segregation platform.
Jesus. I did also have a bow tie.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
You look like a Southern lawyer.
Yeah. This is okay, right? Better than just a mustache?
I think it looks fine. You grow in facial hair well, so however you configure it, thanks, looks good.
At least
except for that pencil-thin mustache.
Yeah, that one was pretty silly.
No matter what you do with your facial hair, you always look like it's an awesome character.
Well, I do thank you there.
put that soul patch in there. Asked and answered.
Dennis LaChapelle.
Hello, Dennis.
Sure.
Asks, is it called dinner or is it called supper?
Aren't they different meals?
I think in some classical sense, they're different meals. Dinner was the name for lunch and then supper was. But I think this is nowadays parlance. And one is clearly more ubiquitous than the other, which kind of makes me a fan of supper, because if you ask someone, hey, do you want to get supper? You'd be like, yeah, I want to get supper. You know what I mean? You can blow off hey, we should get dinner. Yeah, let's get dinner. It's like, hey, we should get supper. You know what? Immediately we should get supper.
What was it in each of your households growing up?
I think actually it was supper growing up more than dinner.
Was it supper and dinner or supper time and dinner time?
Also,
if you're a fan of It's a Good Man, Charlie Brown, it's always supper time.
Yeah. Super Pepper Upper Supper. This is a great song.
Yes, it is.
I love supper. Yeah, I don't remember. I think it was a mix when I was a kid. Hal?
It was dinner. It's always been dinner. Supper sounds light. Should we have a supper? It's a watercress consomme. And a Parmesan wafer. And then we're going to finish it off with a strawberry. And that's it. Just one strawberry.
Did you end that with a comma and then with a strawberry?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because supper is incomplete.
No,
is
man.
I'm getting a text from my father.
Oh, the last supper, man. That's that was a great big supper.
It was a Seder.
Yeah, that's a big supper, right?
No, that's dinner. And you have to wait. Oh, the more religious you are, the longer you have to. Passover is rough. It is rough.
Because
you smell brisket and the soup is cooking and you're getting food at some point. But
why are you smelling like brisket?
Because no, you smell it because it's being made in the kitchen and you're near the kitchen.
I thought you said you smelled like it.
No, the food has been cooked.
He said you smell, brisket.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, exactly. You smell all the food that is going to be coming and it all smells amazing. And then you have to hear the story of how Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. But it is not like a.
And do you end by saying thank you?
Yeah, we do that, but it's time to eat. I appreciate it. Look. Moses, thank you. Eliyahu, there's your chair. Where's the food? I'm very hungry.
No, I get
it. So hungry. As a kid, you're not. And then being the youngest male, you have to ask the four questions. And as a kid,
Is it done yet?
You sort of like perform it a little bit. And then what? As you get older, when you're like 14, 15, you're like, can somebody have a son or something around here?
Can you give us your best performance of one of the four lines?
I'll give you.
I'm just pimping you all kinds of things.
Do you want me to do it as a kid?
Yeah, do it as Kid Hal.
All right. Manishana halaila haze miko halelo miko halelo. It was like that.
Nice.
You know, you do the whole thing, but you have to do it four times, and then you're like, all right, I ask the questions, and then the head of the table has to answer it, and you're not even, I don't even think you're halfway done then.
By the way, I didn't know that that was you answering the question. I thought that the Hebrew song was like the lead-in music to you asking.
Yeah, I thought it went suddenly really metal.
I did not realize it was exactly the question itself.
No, you're saying, why is this night different from all other nights? And then it's like, right, on other nights.
Because it's Passover.
Yeah, yeah. On other nights, we sit at the table. Tonight we recline, which isn't true. We're all sitting in chairs. Well, the other nights you have bread or matzah. Tonight we have only matzah. And then you find out through the answers what you knew from last time.
Yeah.
I didn't forget. I remembered because I remember how hungry I was.
Yeah. But look, I watch Christmas Carol every year. And every time I watch a Christmas Carol, Scrooge doesn't remember at the beginning of the story that he's a good person by the end. It's an annual thing, man. It resets. He's back in the counting house.
What do you think that movie is?
It's not Groundhog Day.
It's just one story told over and over again.
Yeah, it's
Groundhog Day. Imagine if he has to start grumpy every single time. He'd be so pissed off. He would, by like the third time, he would kill Tiny Tim.
Oh my
God. Would murder him and say, all right, I don't feel bad anymore. All right, come on, Reaper. Throw me in the ground. I'm going to enjoy this.
This is a very Ayn Rand version of this that you.
Yeah. Boy, what day is it? Dumps chamber pot.
Oh, my God.
Fooled you.
Oh, now I'm covered in what? A turkey as big as me. You're not going to throw crap on me again, are you?
No, come closer. Come closer, child.
Are you going to throw me sixpence?
Dump.
Oh, did you ever see John Hodgman's Ayn Rand Christmas Carol, actually?
I've seen him as Ayn Rand, though.
It was great. It was, she comes as the ghost of Jacob Marley just to say, you're doing everything right. It was great. Yeah. It was very funny. And Paul Rudd was playing Ebenezer Scrooge. It was a bizarre show. Yeah, it was really fun. All right. So was that asked and answered?
Yeah, dinner.
Yeah, I think it's dinner.
It's dinner.
I wanted to give supper a fair shake, but
sure.
Because I do love, like, it just makes it sound special to me. But
you know what?
Like, the last dinner sounds like a Sopranos episode. The last supper sounds like the Passover where they Judas betrayed Jesus.
Any meal
I just
special.
Listened to Jesus Christ Superstar.
Every meal is special if you're there.
Hey, look at that. Every meal special if you're there, Hal.
Thanks, buddy.
Whether we're having dinner or supper or
we're not having
second
supper.
Breakfast. What if we have dinner and then second supper?
All right, I'm into it.
Well, then we're going to have to squeeze the supper in there too.
Oh, is that what you call it when we go out to a diner after a show?
Exactly. That's supper. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I do like supper, but right? It's dinner is the meal after.
Dinner lunch. Restaurant signs don't say breakfast, lunch, and supper, though more should. All right. Next up.
Next topic is from EJ Salazar.
Hey, what's up, EJ?
Hi, EJ.
In roulette, should you bet on black or red? Do you have a go-to? You have gambled. Do you have one that you always bet on? Instinctual, you bet on one or the other.
I want to hear Mark's answer first.
Well, I saw Passenger 57 as a kid, and I just remember the trailer to that movie. Wesley Snipes turns to the camera, and he goes, you play roulette, always bet on black. And it was the most badass line in that movie. So every time I've ever played roulette, I just go up and put money on black.
You know how Wesley Snipes did with money, right? I just want to be sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he's very talented.
Yeah, he did not pay his taxes, which always kept him in the black.
Yeah, I don't like roulette because you have almost no, there isn't even a fantasy that you have any control over anything. You're just waiting for a marble to land. So if I'm going to do it, it'll be like the minimum amount. And I probably would pick, I would just look at the board and go like, red 17. All right. Black 9. I would just pick one and put it on there. But it's, that scares me. I'd rather play blackjack or poker or craps just because I want to roll the dice. I don't understand that game at all.
Yeah.
And I get sad when I can't roll the dice anymore. I like the little stick that they use to get the dice over. And then you're like, all right, let's go. Everybody likes you. And then they don't like you. And then you leave and go to the buffet where everybody wins.
And then you particular go to the poker table.
That's right. I go to the poker table. That's
I'm beginning to realize though now, do you like gambling because of all the little toys?
That's
the
part of it.
The stick and the dice and the chips and the cards. The
chips? Yeah. And it's fun to like, it's a rush to win money. And then it goes away and you're like, oh, I'm bad at this. I shouldn't do this.
You're pretty good at poker, though.
I'm okay.
Are you good at rest of Vegas, like the other card stuff?
No, I'm okay. I understand blackjack, but you're really at the mercy of what cards come. All you can do is make the best possible – like any game where there are rounds, all you can do is make the best possible decision based on the information you have. True in poker and true in blackjack.
Yeah. I remember my ex from forever ago, our former castmate, Jen – she loved this move and I thought it was such a great move, which is whatever money, if you made a few, cause it was always less than $100. Like we were never going crazy in casinos.
Sure.
But whatever you made, if you were coming away on top as you're walking out, that stack goes to roulette on either red or black. And then you walk out with either double the money or, the night was a wash.
How many times did you walk out with double the money?
Twice.
Out of how many times?
Out of four. So 50-50.
Oh, wow.
I never did this. She did this.
She did it.
Yeah. This was never me, but it was about 50-50. She got the money.
Well, that's impressive. I would bet on black too, though, if I had thought about it.
Yeah.
Just to go back to the question, because it's of passenger black. 57.
Yeah. At least your first bet, pay respect to Wesley Snipes.
Although that is such a weird, like it's a really good line for him to deliver. But in the movie, he sets it up himself. Like he's had this loaded up. He's like, so do you play roulette? It's like he's saying, he might as well have said, do you like apples? I'm going to shoot you and all your friends. How do you like them apples? Wait, hold on. You're supposed to say you like apples. Oh.
Yeah. Ugh. Okay. Hold quick. On. Say knock, 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 knock. Yeah. Oh, wait. Shoot.
Did you ever go to Vegas? Do you like casino? Hold on. I'll call you back. Still working on it.
All right. Black, asked and answered. What's next?
Yeah.
Hey, Jay Keith.
Hey, Helen. Hey, you've got another true-false quiz for me?
Yep. Our trivia podcast, Go Fact Yourself, used to be in front of a live audience.
True. Turns out that's not so safe anymore.
Correct. Next. Unfortunately, this means we can no longer record the show.
False. The show still comes out every first and third Friday of the month.
Correct. Finally, we still have great celebrity guests answering trivia about things they love on every episode of Go Fact Yourself.
Definitely true.
And for bonus points, name some of them.
Recently, we've had Ophira Eisenberg, plus tons of surprise experts like Yardley Smith and Suzanne Summers.
Perfect score.
Woohoo!
You can hear Go Fact Yourself every first and third Friday of the month with all the great guests and trivia that we've always had. And if you don't listen, well, then you can go fact yourself.
That's the name of our podcast.
Correct.
Woo!
Hi, I'm James, host of Minority Corner, which is a
podcast that's all about intersectionality. It's hosted by James with a guest host every week.
Discussing all sorts of wonderful issues, nerdy and political.
Pop culture.
Black, queer, feminism.
Race, sexuality.
News.
You're going to learn your history, their self-empowerment, and it's told by what feels like your best friend.
Why should someone listen to Minority Corner?
Why not?
Oh my God, free stuff.
There's not free stuff.
The listeners of Minority Corner will enjoy some necessary LOLs, but mainly a look at what's happening in our world through a colorful lens.
People will get the perspective of marginalized communities.
I feel heard. I feel seen.
Like you said, you need to understand how to be more proactive in your community, and this is a great way to get started.
Join us every Friday on Max Fun or wherever you get your podcast.
Minority Corner. Because together, we're the majority.
Next topic is from Nicole Ansel.
Hello, Nicole.
Oh, hi, Nicole.
And it is, for window coverings, blinds or curtains?
I'll tell you, I'm behind me, I have blinds. Not right now. But I generally prefer blinds. Because to me, curtains just, they make a room smaller, it feels like. What do you think, Hal?
Well, I'm going to show you what I think. It's going to be behind me right now.
Oh,
and here's why. I like blinds. We have, horizontal blinds can go screw because they don't keep the whole point of them.
Wait, you horizontal sense, blinds you don't like? You like the
I don't like horizontal blinds. I don't like vertical blinds either. I don't like blinds at all because they're so horizontal blinds are maybe a little bit better at keeping the light out. But in general, like get some curtains and close them and you will like, you're doing it to keep the light out.
Right.
So get something that actually does that. Even so, vertical blinds, the problem is you have gaps in between them. They don't form a perfect surface to block out light. Problem with horizontal blinds is they have holes poked in them. So even when you turn them one way or the other, because that's where the pulley system works, you're getting light through that way too. So neither of them are.
Do you have a window that isn't direct sunlight that it just like – that you really have to look out for it coming through?
Oh, yeah. Jennifer's side of the bed faces a bunch of – like a windowed area. Mm-hmm. And it has the vertical blinds. But we've hung different that we've hung curtains. We had blackout curtains out for a while. That worked really well. Now, like there's a backdrop that she uses for Zoom calls. She puts in and it blocks out most of the light. But that's the whole point, right? Is privacy one.
Right.
And they all do a decent job of privacy. Certainly with blinds, you get a little bit more. You can like give like a little peek into what's going on. Oh, the blinds are partially open. What is?
Oh, look, one of them got caught. If I look out the window and, or like Judge Doom's gun is poking through, like in, that's what I always think of when blinds are separated. I'm like, watch out, it's Judge Doom's gun's gonna fit right through there. you know what's funny? I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think that at least good quality thick curtains can keep the light out. Maybe it's because my apartment is not huge that I'm like, curtains will just make this room seem smaller.
Right.
That said, the theatrical sentimentalist in me, the one who has never taken a blinds call, but has taken a curtain call.
And you've done it here.
Right there on that stage. There's something magical about a red curtain.
That's right.
Even a black curtain, like the upstage, just that empty space of the stage. I was thinking strictly at home, but you had that red curtain up behind you and it was instantly like, oh yeah, the red curtain is home. So
yes.
Curtain.
And for windows too, it's just a more effective means of blocking out light and you can dress it. You can sort of draw it back. You have a lot more options of how you can customize it.
I found some
like, here's how rotated it is.
I do have curtains in the bedroom that I got made. I cut in half. I didn't get them made, but they were tree. They're like leaves and I have a tree right outside. So it sort of blends into the room. You can play around with stuff like that. I think is fun. Do you like them when they go all the way to the floor? That maybe is what just drives me crazy. And what makes a space feel small is when a curtain hasn't been like trimmed or, hemmed under to the right size. I used to clean dog hair out of that pile of curtain that just collected on the floor. You know what I mean? Like that curtain on the floor thing's a pain.
You want the best possible version of whatever it is. I think curtains need to be hemmed. They need to be like off the ground a little bit. As long as they're blocking out light, they shouldn't need to like pile like a royal cape.
Right. Yeah. It's not, my window isn't getting married. It doesn't need a train.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think, that red curtain, man. I think it's the curtain. Ask and answer.
Yeah, there it is. All right. That worked. I'm going to take that off. Ken, what's next?
So next.
That worked. It's not a competition. I still have E.T. behind me.
I know. Hi, E.T.
We have a topic from Shelley Godifrin.
Oh, hi, Shelley.
Hi, Shelley.
And it is Campbell's or Progresso soup.
Okay. Hold on. Let me get my background image ready.
Oh, I thought you were looking up your little soup journal that you've kept.
Yeah, hold on. I have my soup journal. No,
tomato
I think
today.
Hal, you get started while I'm doing this.
I get what people would like about Progresso. Let's start there because it is not, Campbell's is kind of like the soup brand that everybody, if you think of soup, you think of Campbell's soup. I think when you think of canned, it is good. It's been around for well over 100 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It was immortalized by Andy Warhol and his paintings of the cans, but also it's just like everybody knows what the label looks like. Progresso is a heartier soup. I found a little bit fatter cans. Scotch fra. Oh yeah, that's the original set.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think Progresso is a fine soup, but Campbell's is. It's like it's the soup.
We are proving to be real brand loyalists on this show, I realize, in a lot of ways. But that I don't think is a bad thing. It's just, you know, that's what we get. And I grew up on Campbell's soup, and it soup to me denotes home and comfort. And you want the version that's homey and comforting. Progresso makes great soup. I like their soups. I like their low carb soups that they make. I did a lot of those back in the day. But like, I mean, Andy Warhol painted Campbell's cans for a reason. They are Americana. And I'd like to point out one thing that Progresso does not have. I'm looking at it behind me on this thing to see if, well, I was hot looking to see bean. If they had, I was looking, hot dog bean is pretty great. I was looking to see if they had cream of mushroom because that is used in everything. Campbell's cream of mushroom soup. You can cook any casserole with it.
Mm-hmm.
Except my mother does not like mushrooms, and I know you don't like mushrooms either, Hal.
I don't.
So when it was time to make green bean casserole during Thanksgiving, what did my mother use instead of cream of mushroom soup? This, which is barely soup at all.
Wow.
It is a step above ballpark nacho sauce.
Oh, God.
Or maybe even not above, a step laterally. Like if you are eating a bowl of that, yeah. I guess the idea is that it's like that German beer cheese soup that, you know, you dip a big pretzel in, like at a smorgasbord. Mm-hmm. But that in a casserole of green beans and French's crispy fried onions. It's so delicious and so heavy and so not good for us.
That sounds amazing.
And my mom would get mad at us when she would have the can of cheddar cheese soup opened while making that on Thanksgiving. And we would run over with tortilla chips and dunk them in it like it was ballpark nachos. Yeah. So every once in a while you get a corn fleck in your green bean.
That's texture. Do you feel like Progresso really tried to hang their hat on we make really good minestrone soup? I feel like that is their main like.
Hey, that's that. Yeah.
Nobody else is doing minestrone. Let's corner that because people are clamoring for their minestrone, which is it's a fine soup.
It's a great minestrone soup. Yeah, but it's Campbell's, but, man. Come on, look. Yeah. Hal's favorite comfort food: chicken and dumplings.
There it is.
Yeah.
Try to grab it up your screen. Oh, God.
My favorite comfort food, hot dog bean.
It took me years of making Campbell's soup until I realized what the condensed meant on the can.
Oh, you're supposed to add water.
And you're supposed to add a can of water to it.
God. You shouldn't add a whole can, though. That's like too much water.
I mean,
you're going to eat it anyway. It's not like you're eating less of it.
Because that was the other thing about when Progresso would add things was the fact that you didn't have to add water. That the soup is what you got. It's made. It's not diluted.
It is diluted. It's just diluted at the factory.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But I would argue that you get twice as much soup with Campbell's.
That's right.
Right?
That's the New York living in you coming out.
And you know what else? You know what else you don't get? You know what else you don't get from those good people at Progresso?
What's that?
Hot dog bean.
An oyster.
Hot dog bean and
oyster stew.
Hot dog bean and oyster stew were the best pitcher-catcher combo of the 1890s.
What is Scotch broth?
Scotch broth. It's
a hearty soup. It says it right on it.
It's hard boiled broth wrapped in sausage and then deep fried.
What does it say on the hot dog bean? Stout hearting soup?
Stout hearted soup. And then there are manhandlers.
It's got two martinets on either side, right?
I'm trying to read this backwards.
It's got two martinets holding up the stout hearted soup sign.
Oh, hold on. Wait, Mark, lean to your left. Sorry, other, you're right. So the New England clam chowder, it says important, add whole milk.
Oh, I would have screwed that up.
Important. Oh.
So I would have added a can of water to that.
That's a mistake. Oof. Don't do that. Don't add whole milk to your soup.
Whew. I wish every can what of everything can? Said important, add whole milk. You open up a can of peas and carrots. Oh, God, add whole milk quick.
I'll tell you, that family pack of Oreos I have behind me, that, you add whole milk to that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when you open up the Doritos bag and just push the nacho cheese button.
Here's just a condensed can of clams. You just add some milk to it and eat it.
Yeah.
It's just that not often on packaging do you see a parenthetical notation on the front of the packaging right. for the Scotch broth.
A hearty soup.
Wait, what is? Does it say manhandlers across?
Yeah,
it
says manhandlers, and then it says Scotch broth, a hearty soup. When you need a thick soup, put it in your belly. Scotch broth. It's a hearty soup. What's in it? Hardee's.
Hardee's roast beef sandwiches.
Hardee's.
No, no, no.
Yeah,
heart.
We grind them up.
Beef hearts.
Beef heart. It's hearty.
Yeah.
Loaded with hearts.
This tastes super hearty.
You didn't add the water.
Right. Do we have time? We have time for one more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So Avery Krause asks, thick cut or regular cut bacon?
How thick? Like the millionaire's bacon. That's thick. The millionaire's bacon that we have at that place in San Francisco. That is thick cut bacon.
Yeah. That's also.
So it says we're on video. Use your finger to show the thickness of cut. Well, that was a hell of a day fishing.
Yeah. Something like.
Like Vogue, right? It's a Vogue this. Cut.
No, I like you're talking like the regular versus a little.
So like a thin, not like a thin ones, slice.
You don't have to like broil it or bake it. You could still cook it in a pan, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you want to finish it off in the oven, or you maybe do it in the oven and then you finish it off in the pan to give it a little.
I'm a regular size bacon fan. I like my bacon crispy, and it's tough. Like, excuse me, even the millionaire's bacon, you have to. Like eat it with a knife and fork, and it's soft on the plate. Mm. It's very good. But I like, yeah, I would rather eat. If I realize what you're going to say, thick cut, more bacon. I would rather eat more strips of thin bacon than one thick one. What do you think?
I hear you. I enjoy bacon a lot. I think I like a thick cut piece as like a treat every now and then. Mm-hmm. If that was the bacon I had everywhere, I think it would get kind of old. There's something too like getting some like gnarled burnt witch's fingers brought to you on a plate to eat with your breakfast rather than
or on a fast food burger. Just that little hint of it. I just need that thin translucent layer of smoky pork fat.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's something to that over. Something you have to knife and fork. That's like the whole thing of bacon is you can pick it up and eat it, except for like Canadian bacon and the upcoming episode coming this week where we talk to James Callis about English breakfast.
That's right.
The way they do it where it's like little ham medallions almost because it's, what is it? Back bacon? Back bacon.
Pork belly. No, belly bacon is what Americans have. Back bacon is what
right. I like that back bacon, but I also like a ham. I'll get like a ham steak with eggs. Like give me some ham. So, but I just get ham. If I'm getting bacon, I like having those strips of bacon. Like that's the whole thing of it.
Yeah. Look, I'm with you 100%. There is something that is a special occasion about the other, you know, like the millionaire's bacon, but I don't, you know, I don't want a $30 plate of bacon every time I go out and eat. It's a lot of things that are terrible for me in that. And I can't just keep doing it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Had to get some bacon background.
Yeah, that's bacon.
Yeah, that's bacon. Thin and crispy, and it curls up.
And only 10% of it isn't fat.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I just want a little strip of lean, edible meat through the middle.
Yeah. And some people pick around the fat. Not me. I eat it. Look, if you give me like a prime rib, I eat the whole thing.
Oh, I can't eat the bone fat in there? Prime rib.
Yo, that's the best part.
Yeah, I can't do it. Like,
how's like John Candy in The Great Outdoors?
Exactly. I'm John
There's
Candy.
There's nothing there but fat and gristle.
The kids always get t-shirts because I'll eat dessert afterwards.
Oh, my God.
That's what I do. But it's thin bacon.
But thin bacon, yeah. That's it's also thin bacon. You can wrap things, and bacon wrapped fill in the blank is.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, we got time for one more. We're going to 6:30, right?
Yeah, sure.
Great.
But I'm going to share a recipe real quick because we're live. We're getting stuff live from the YouTube channel.
Oh,
we're getting a recipe, especially for Mark.
Oh boy!
So you can have a little variation on childhood memories.
Okay.
Nicole Horning says the cheddar cheese can. In your Instant Pot with noodles and 1.5 cans of water makes the best mac and cheese. Add some butter and a little shredded cheese at the end and mix.
Cheddar cheese soup. Can of water, no can of water.
A can and a half of water.
Okay.
And some noodles.
Are you writing this down?
Yeah, I'm writing it down.
You add some butter and a little shredded cheese at the end and mix.
Okay. You know what the first thing that's going on my shopping list for this is?
The cheddar cheese soup.
The Instant Pot.
Oh, you don't have one?
No. I have an air fryer, and I love my air fryer. You got to look at you. Look at you, fancy pants with a real KitchenAid.
That you had one earlier. We saw it in your kitchen earlier.
Yeah. Where's yours?
Yeah.
I don't have one, Mark. KitchenAid.
Sure you do. It was right behind you.
Yeah. Come on. Show your kitchen, everybody.
Oh, right. Oh, you know what? I keep forgetting, you guys. Hold on. Let me take this fake background down.
Yeah.
Yeah. See?
Yeah, see?
Oh, it's to your left. You can't see it.
Yeah, it's in front of the rack. I can't see it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right. You know what? I'm gonna go back to the Supreme Court.
Hodgman?
Oh no, that's copywritten. I'm gonna go to the Old West. All right.
Perfect. All right, one more. Right?
One more.
Let's come up with what a good ending for this show would be. while I'm doing this, do you guys want to that's a great ending, Hal.
It is a great ending.
It's a really
is
great
one of the,
ending.
Is one of the lights blinking?
What's your favorite kind of rock? While I'm looking this up, do you guys want
to take that down?
What?
I can't. That
you're not a fan of oh, so you don't like Sesame Street all of a sudden?
It's your so favorite horrifying.
Your pals Bert and Ernie are here.
It's so horrifying. I don't want
Oh, to wait. Mark, people are asking because I have the comments up on the side. Will you go get your baby Pam?
All right. Why do they want to see my baby Pam? Hold on.
People, because it's become a character in the show. Look, people are asking.
Go get your baby Pam, Hal. Go get your smallest pan. What's the smallest pan you have?
All right, I'm going to get it. Let me go down the
stairs. What's that?
He's getting his smallest pan right now. We're going to compare what his smallest pan is. Well, that's not a baby pan. That's like a regular pan.
It's small. It's like an egg pan, but not like a single egg.
Yeah, there's no novelty joy.
All right,
wait, no.
Do you have a playing card, Hal?
Here, I've got a
from your gambling days.
I don't have an Altoid tin. I was going to say something that we both have that's the same size. An Altoid tin's about the size of a playing card.
Yeah, it's about the size of a playing card.
All right, so put the Altoid tin in your pan.
Oh, in my pan. Oh,
yeah. That you see what I'm doing is for comparison's sake.
All right. Ready?
Yeah. Okay. So this takes up most of the pan.
you can't make like an omelet in that, right? You don't make like tiny omelets.
No, but you know what it's perfect for is it's perfect for the tortillas that I get to make the eggs in that. Then it is the perfect round size and shape to go into the middle of the tortilla, which is why I use it.
And then you put playing cards in it.
And then I put playing cards in it. No, I just wanted that for the sake of the size. You know, like when they put a dollar bill next to a footprint in an old Western or in an old detective movie.
And you look like a background character in Maverick with that facial hair.
Yeah. I saw you play the other night. You're good. I don't know if you're good enough to beat me. You're good.
One of my main memories of spending time with you in New York, Mark, was your endless quest to find an East Coast breakfast burrito that would somehow live up to your expectations.
There were no good breakfast. Weirdly enough, I finally found a good breakfast burrito in New York, and it was at the diner adjacent to my apartment on that same block. And you and I went everywhere. We found a place that was like real California breakfast burritos.
And you're like, no, it's not. This is not it.
It wasn't. It was like, this has eggs and pinto beans. I'm like, okay. And corn and chilies in it. And I'm like, hang on, guys. This is, you're basically just making a big mishmash Southwestern black-eyed pea salad omelet. That's not what, I was very upset. Anyway, did we take one more? Are we taking one more?
Are you ready for your last one?
One more.
Okay, so
I was trying in my brain. I was trying to get back. I was like, "What were we talking about?" Oh, right, we didn't have one.
So this is from Jennifer Santangelo Reinhardt.
Oh,
that is an amazing nice. Name.
And it is Scott or Sherman.
Okay,
I mean, right now it's probably down to the point where the answer is your hand. But I have a favorite.
What's your favorite, Hal?
Well, I'm curious. Do you? I'm very like brand loyal. If we've learned nothing over the last 5 years, and if you've learned nothing over the last almost 20.
Yeah.
But like you are brand loyal in some things, I think, and other things you're not. Is toilet paper one of those where you'll just get like whatever, like you don't really care?
Yeah, I'll frequently get whatever. But I think in this one, there's actually going to be a scientific answer, I bet.
Really? What science are you basing this on?
Well, I mean, like there's going to be not a scientific, maybe an objective answer. But I wanted to hear what's your brand loyalty to.
I'm a Charmin guy. Okay. And the reason why is one of my best friends in the world, Jesse, growing up, if I would go to his house to sleep over, they had like the greatest toilet paper in the world. And it was soft Charmin. It was like whatever crap we used at our house.
Yeah. You and I are roughly the same age. And I remember as a kid, I think that particular version of Charmin had just come out.
Yes.
It was a big deal. And everybody was like, oh, my butt feels crazy great.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's very good. I think quality-wise, you can't compete. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can compare the two. I think the differences we're going to have to look at are outside of the quality of the toilet paper itself and at some of the other ancillary things like, the thing about Scott is it is one ply. It is not plush at all. Mm-hmm. So you can put a mile of it on a roll, which is good if you don't have a lot of storage space for the big plush Charmin. But also in a public restroom, it's not going to be empty as often.
Yeah, but do you think Burger King cares what you're wiping your butt with?
No, but if Burger King used Charmin, do you think that they would care that the roll ran out every 20 minutes and they had to go replace it? Eventually, they're just going to stop replacing it. Or maybe that's just maybe which toilet paper just because somehow devolved into me being cynical about fast food restaurants' standards of hygiene during a coronavirus. That said, I think Charmin is the superior toilet paper. I'm trying to objectively look at, like, I know just the other day, I had a friend who was looking for specifically Scott toilet paper because it's a lot safer for old houses. If you live in an old house.
Oh, because the plumbing,
like,
back up.
Yeah, that Charmin is, I mean, you know, that's halfway from Scott to terry cloth. So that could clog up a toilet. That said, quality-wise, halfway from Scott to terry cloth is a pretty good place to be.
If you use too much of any toilet paper, you can flush it. Now, based on like how much you're pawing off the roll, certainly Charmin because it's thicker, you run a higher risk. But also, you shouldn't need that much. And if you do, get wet wipes. I don't want to get too much into it. I know they're like wiping. People have asked about wiping and you don't want to talk about it.
So I don't like talking about it. I don't
have to get into it. But suffice it to say, if you have to use enough that you're choking your toilet, then there are other problems present there that you can deal with.
I'm saying like if you have a place that in like just a standard, whatever a standard amount is, will still clog up pipes. Like that was why specifically why she needed to get that Scott version.
Like if you have a septic system as opposed to
exactly.
Scott used to have as somebody was pointing out in the comments, Dennis LaChapelle was pointing out that they used to have different colors of Scott. So you get like a light blue, a yellow, a pink. You could match it to your powder room or your bathroom.
Yeah. My grandmother used to match it. We used to have pink toilet paper in my grandmother's bathroom.
And as Shelley has pointed out, the Charmin bears are creepy because really, like, this is some magical forest where all bears want to do is go to the bathroom and wipe. Like, that is their entire – they
That's their – I want to be like
you. Go to the bathroom and they wipe.
Wop-be-doo-be-doo-wop.
I want to wipe like you, just like you do.
Are you monitoring the comments now, Hal?
I have them up on the side, so I see people talking.
Yeah, because I want to make sure
I just see you guys.
Both things as we're doing this.
But look, in terms of we're really looking for the quality, the overall experience of use. And
that's Charmin. And Charmin also makes the best porta potties I've ever been in. Have you ever seen those?
No.
Like, Charmin.
Where did you experience that?
They do them at festivals. They were doing them I did it one in LA and one in New York. So I know they have them on both coasts. But like, music festivals or, you know, food fairs or like Smorgasburg or any of those, like where you need Port-a-Johns, they've got this thing. It's like they bring it in on an 18 wheeler and it's like a bunch of stalls in a row. They're all Charmin branded. They've all got like wood paneling and flowers and like they spray. You know, Febreze on you when you go in. Like they're all it's just the fanciest Port-a-Johns I've ever been in. So for that reason alone, I've never seen Scott do that. Although I have thrown toilet paper at a film screen during Rocky Horror when they say "Great Scott," and you can't do that with Charmin. His name's not Dr. Charmin.
You wouldn't want to. You'd be ruining.
Yeah, Charmin. Very good point.
Scott, you could throw now. Like you get whatever. It's any port in a storm, but when this clears. And I got lucky. I ordered Charmin like right before stuff was really gone. I ordered a bunch of stuff from Target.
I have not seen it gone. That's the thing.
Well, I haven't gone. I'm trying to avoid going into stores. So I've had it shipped.
Oh, it's been gone from Amazon forever. Yeah.
Gone from Amazon. I've not seen it in a store either. And I've been there early in the morning to shop. But I got lucky. It was like the last transport out before the ion cannons, you know, were firing at the start at the the Superstar Destroyers. Like, I'm very lucky to have it. I'm glad it's Charmin. I would have taken anything, but like, I'm a comfort person, so it's definitely Charmin.
Well, you're my comfort person, Hal, and that one is asked and answered, and that wraps it up. For this live edition, thank you for joining us. It only leaves us to say these topics are all closed, but there are many more topics to discuss. So please reach out to us on Twitter, check out the Maximum Fun subreddit, or
you can send us an email. We got this podcast at gmail.com or go to our Facebook group. We're going to download, or Ken will download the original video and he'll download this one and edit it together. We'll put them up there for you. I think we're going to put these out as episodes as well, Ken, right?
We're keeping them for a rainy day. At one point, they may go up, but don't miss them as they go out live because we haven't determined yet what is going to happen with these. So watch them live if you can, if we do them.
When I realized that the video was going to go out, I was like, well, there needs to be more Dollywood.
thank you all for joining us. We're glad that you're staying safe, that you spent some time with us. We will do this again. If you enjoyed it, tweet at us and tell us on Facebook. Let us know that you're watching, that you would watch again. If there's a better time that works, feel free to throw out some times and we'll figure out something that's flexible for us as well. Thank you to producer Ken Plume, who organized all this and is the reason why we're doing it.
Amen.
Outside of all of you, of course. Thank you to researcher Kate McManus, QA engineer Jen Alba, and graphic designer Uri Kilman.
And thanks, of course, to our musicians, Jonathan Dienerstein and Mike Furman, for our score and theme song, respectively. And thanks to you, the people of the world, for taking our minds off of all of the craziness for a little while and letting us just have some fun with what we all as people of the world do best, which is gently arguing. So thank you. For Hal Loveland, I'm Mark Gagliardi.
For Mark Gagliardi, I'm Hal Loveland. And don't worry, everybody. We got this.
And Mark, you have a request.
Yeah.
Someone wants to know your breakfast burrito recipe, how you prepare it.
When I make it at home?
When you make it at home.
Okay. Here's how I do it when I make it at home. I'll give you the full run through. This is the coda. I wake up in the morning. I go straight to the kitchen and I put the bacon in the toaster oven because it takes 20 minutes. Then shower, get ready, do all the stuff I got to get done. That's like 15 minutes. I'm ready to go back in the kitchen. I put a tortilla. I don't make a burrito in the morning. I make more of just like a soft taco, but throw a tortilla with some shredded cheese on a pan on low on the back of the stove. Grab this little guy or the slightly larger one, put a little bit of butter in it, crack an egg in, take the bottom of the shell, tap the yolk so the yolk breaks. Then the egg doesn't have like two separate parts. It all kind of becomes marbled together. By then, the bacon's usually done and the tortilla with the cheese on top is done. If I have an extra 90 seconds, I'll grab an avocado, scoop some of it out, lay it onto the tortilla. And the whole process, aside from the 20 minutes to cook the bacon, I think I've gotten it down to about 4.5 minutes. I can be from leaving the bathroom to eating a breakfast burrito or a breakfast wrap in about 5 minutes.
And that is my challenge to you, is sometime in the near future, time trial, film it from your walk to the bath, from the bathroom.
Make sure you're dressed. Do stuff like this.
Yeah.
We'll have a little clock running on the bottom of the screen.
By the way, I should say turkey bacon is what takes 20 minutes in the.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thin cut?
Thin regular. I don't think they make thick cut turkey bacon. Look, you're just, it's already pretending.
It's called turkey breast.
Yeah.
The whole turkey breast. Anyway, there you go. There's your recipe. Right. We will see you soon.
Thanks, everybody.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.